We're doing the Ramban, Torat Hashem Tmima, and we had just begun the speech. We had learned about how by observing nature, Hashamayim, looking up into the heavens, Mesaperim, Kevot Kel, so the heavens, so to speak, recount the honor of Hashem, that by observing the awesome forces of nature, or the awesome order of nature, we should be able to recognize that Hashem is behind the system. And then more than nature indicates it, we should recognize Hashem through the Torah. That's where Ramban had begun, saying that the pasuk that states Torah after nature is telling us that Torah is a greater indicator that Hashem runs the world than the forces of nature. And that's where Ramban was going to explain. Hashamayim, the heavens teach us about the honor of El. Hashem who has the force. We see nature is always in flux. Well, that the force behind all of that, that we see through nature. So that's where we left off, where the Ramban explained the word El to mean force. Hashamayim mesaperim kevod El. The word El means potent, forceful. Harakia, hu agalgan ha'elyon ha'olech mimizrach lemarav. What is Rakia? It says Hashamayim, the heavens, mesaperim kevod kel. They recount the honor of the potent one. Umaseh Yadav, and the handiwork of Hashem, is indicated by the Rakia. What is the Rakia? So, Ramban says, we're working off of a certain form of describing astronomy. So, astronomy was originally described as though the stars, if you could imagine it, if the stars were like dots on a track, and the track keeps moving. So let's say in the northern hemisphere, you see all the stars moving in a cycle, right? In the southern hemisphere too. But just like the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, because Earth is spinning from east to west, right? So too at night, you see all the stars shifting and pretty much in unison from east to west. Every night, the stars are shifting from east to west. That pattern of movement, being that all the stars are moving together, is called a galgal. That's as though they were all in some form of wheel, that the wheel is turning, and they are dots planted into the wheel, and they are shifting. So Ramban is saying that's what Rakia is. Rakia is that, I don't know if we would call it solar system today or Milky Way today. It's the form of the stars within our solar system, that they all shift. They're all moving. Yeah.
That doesn't fit in with the simple shot of Bereshit. When the stars were only created on the fourth day.
Why doesn't that fit in?
Because the Rakia was made on the second day.
So?
We're saying the Rakia are the constellations.
If we're saying Rakia is the air or the whatever it is that they're within, meaning I'm not sure we want to go into this, but it sounds like you want to go into it. There's a question that that I don't think we know the answer to, and that is, what holds things in place? Are things being held in place?
Science
doesn't exactly know, because you have to leave the system in order to see what the system's doing, right? Meaning, when all the stars are moving, so you have Einstein's theory, we have theories about bodies of matter having an atomic, having a magnetic pull.
Well, that doesn't, the strong isn't strong enough to keep the universe together.
It's not only keep it together, the question is, why doesn't the universe just drop? And how is planet Earth staying where it's staying? Why doesn't it drop? Why does the moon keep in its orbit? All the stars, why do they stay where they are? Meaning, where, what keeps them where they are? Why aren't they moving? Are they moving? How much are they moving? Meaning, we see within our galaxy how much things are moving. But what about without our galaxy? So your assumption that Rakia is something which has to exist after there are stars, I'm not sure that's accurate. It could be Rakia is whatever it is in the galaxy, if we would call it air, I'm not sure what it is, that's holding the planets and the stars in whatever they're being held.
Doesn't it say in Eov that the only reason why the stars are held together is because God says so?
I'm not talking about being held together. I'm talking about being held in orbit.
I see.
Just making sure I'm not missing that. Okay, so I don't know if Rakia could be whatever holds all the planets in orbit. I don't know, because we don't exactly know what's holding the planets in orbit. Maaseyadav. So the Rakia, Maaseh Yadav Magid Rakia. So the Rakia tells us about the things Hashem made. Shehem Nivraim. What are Maaseh Yadav? The different creations Hashem has made. V'zeh davar baruv v'raya shafilosofim b'mechkar bilvad hotziu ota. So philosophers already figured this out, says the Ramban, that there are forces at play in the universe. You look at the universe, you see there are forces. There's something making the sun go off. There's something making the planets move. So that's what we say, Maaseh Yadav Magid HaRakia. The Rakia, which is that system within which all the galaxies or all the stars in our galaxy move, well, that's a testimony to the fact that Hashem made things in the world. That it's not haphazard. There's a force that keeps things in some kind of system. וכשסיפר אגדת השמיים והשמש ואמר הנסתר מחמתו, so then King David goes on to say a few things about the heaven and the sun. He says, no one can hide from the sun. And on planet Earth, you can't hide from the sun. The sun impacts Earth. You can't hide from its heat. אמר כי תורת השם תמימה משיבת נפש. Then, David Amel says, and Hashem's Torah is holistic. It rejuvenates the soul. כלומר, אף על פי שאילו ראיות ברורות בכבוד הקהל. He says, even though looking at nature is indicative of the fact that Hashem has done something in this world, just look at nature. You look at the world and you say, okay, Hashem's done something. I didn't do it, right? There's no one who can take credit for what goes on in this world. So there's some force that created the world. But if you want to see Hashem, says King David, in the Torah you could see it more than through nature. Now here, we should really take a few steps back. Okay, are we ready? Are we focused? Can we think? Or is it too late at night? Wait a second. How do we pause this thing?
The red dot.
The red dot ends it. It doesn't pause it. We're continuing with the Rashat Torah Tashen Tmima. Children reach an age where they learn to ask why. And they ask why about everything. So you tell your kid, be careful, don't walk in the puddle.
Why?
And they say, why? Right? And you say, because you don't want to get your shoes wet. And they say, why? And you say, because then you get your socks wet. And they say, why? And you say, because Hashem created a world where if you walk in a puddle, then your shoes and socks get wet. And they say, why? And then suddenly you're left
stumped. And suddenly you stop answering.
Well, why did Hashem create a world where walking in the rain makes you get wet? Walking in a puddle makes you get wet. You move on, and your kid is walking with his shoelaces untied, and you say, let's stop and tie your shoelaces. And the kid goes, why? And you say, so that you don't stumble over your feet. And the kid goes, why? And you say, because you don't want to get hurt. And the kid goes, why? And you stand there and you think, because Hashem created a world where it's not good for us to get hurt. It's painful, it's unhealthy. And you know you're going to tell the kid that, and they're going to ask, why? And suddenly you realize that everything we do in this world, everything we perceive, our understanding reaches a certain point, such that we can understand what happens in the system, but we don't really have an understanding of why anything takes place in the system. We always come back to the same answer, because Hashem made the world so. So when we look at the world, even the things that seem to make sense, even the things that seem to have a system, if you really look into it, you're going to ask why. And you're going to realize that our knowledge is very limited in regards to why. We can understand what happens, and sometimes we can understand how it happens. We don't really understand why Hashem made the world this way. So we're very, very limited in our understanding. But if I see a system, if I see what, if I see how, then I can understand there was some thought process, there was some planning that made it so. So through the what and the how, I can understand there is a creator. Along comes the Torah and addresses the why. The Torah gives me insights as to why things should be so. That there is reasoning behind the why, not only the what and the how. Through the Torah, I can understand Hashem more than I do through nature. In nature, I can see His existence. I can see His planning. In Torah, I can start understanding, on some level, His reasoning. Yes? So it's a different level of understanding. So through Torah, HaTorah Hashem Shlema Yoter Bazeh, Torah in a certain sense is more complete in giving us an understanding of Hashem. The Torah rejuvenates the soul. The Torah enlightens the fool. Klomar shemisirah kol safek min alevavot. Torah will remove doubt from the hearts. Min hachamim umin haptayim. That's regardless of whether you're wise or foolish, the Torah can help you overcome your doubts. So it's normal for a thinking person to have doubts and questions. And if a thinking person is going to explore and research through Torah, he is to overcome at least many of his doubts and questions. Sheinan mevinim ma'alachot shamayim u'ma'alchei ha'kochavim. Even if he's a fool and he cannot appreciate this, there's something great about how the stars move. Nonetheless, Torah can educate him. Nonetheless, Torah can give him a grasp of an appreciation of Hashem running the world, even though he doesn't understand the greater things like nature. So in that sense, Torah is also greater than nature. A, because Torah can give me a better understanding. B, because Torah can give an understanding even to one who is less skilled, one who is less wise. V'flig b'shevach HaTorah b'mizmor zeh. So this chapter in Tehillim, in Psalms, is where David HaMelech goes on and on about the praise of Torah. We are talking about the 19th chapter. So this was intro part 1. The greatness of Torah, in that Torah reveals to us how Hashem runs the world. Torah can speak to a person even if they don't have an appreciation of nature. Torah can give us access on some level to the why of the world, not only the what and the how. This was part 1 of the intro to the speech.